Good morning and welcome to worship. Wherever you are, whoever you are, and whatever time you're watching this, welcome to join us in our worship to God. Our call to worship or our service today is looking at, do we have to be in a certain place, a special place, for God to hear our prayers? And our call to worship are these lines: Lord, you are present with us here in this space as much as in any space, here in this moment as much as in any moment, here with us as we feel buoyant and hopeful, as much as when we are weighed down and challenged by life's complexities. Your sanctuary is wherever we worship. Let's worship God.
Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Let us pray. God, you are infinite, mysterious, eternal, at home everywhere and nowhere, with us always, but never in a way that we can prove even to ourselves. You're beyond our words to describe, beyond our most fervent efforts to tame or to contain. Forgive us, O God, if we have ever tried to scale you down to a more manageable size, reciting creeds as if they were the final word, speaking of the house of God as if you actually lived there in a building we had made. Give us a fresh glimpse of your glory, as much as we can handle, and perhaps just a little bit more. Then let us come and truly worship you. God, you are infinite and uncontainable, but you also made us, and you know what we need. If anything of our founding story is true, then you chose to reach out and find us, not everywhere all at once, but in one specific place, at one particular time, and in the person whose name we bear, and who calls us now to be his presence here on earth. Loving God, forgive us if we have failed to recognise you in the ordinary, humdrum places where we do our daily living, in the family and friends who teach us what it means to live in love, and so to live in you, in the neighbours who need our help and give us theirs, in the all too flawed community of the church. Give us a fresh glimpse of your presence in every person we meet, every place that we go. And then, if we need to, let us set a special time and place aside to come and worship you. May the worship that we offer here and now draw us more deeply into the eternal mystery and assure us more profoundly of your love. Our prayers, our worship, our lives, we bring to you, our God. Amen. Reading from 1 Kings chapter 8, various verses. King Solomon summoned all the leaders of the tribes and clans of Israel to come to him in Jerusalem in order to take the Lord's covenant box from Zion, David's city, to the temple. Then the priests carried the covenant box into the temple and put it in the most holy place beneath the winged creatures. As the priests were leaving the temple, it was suddenly filled with a cloud, shining with the dazzling light of the Lord's presence, and they could not go back in to perform their duties. Then, in the presence of the people, Solomon went and stood in front of the altar, where he raised his arms and prayed, "Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or earth below. You keep your covenant with your people and show them your love when they live in wholehearted obedience to you. You have kept the promise you made to my father David. Today every word has been fulfilled. And now, Lord God of Israel, I pray that you will keep the other promise you made to my father when you told him that there would always be one of his descendants ruling as king of Israel, provided they obeyed you as carefully as he did. So now, O God of Israel, let everything come true that you promised to my father David, your servant. But can you, O God, really live on earth? Not even all heaven is large enough to hold you. So how can this temple that I have built be large enough? Lord my God, I am your servant. Listen to my prayer and grant the request I make of you today. Watch over this temple day and night, this place where you have chosen to be worshipped. Hear me when I face this temple and pray. Hear my prayers and the prayers of your people when they face this place and pray. In your home in heaven, hear us and forgive us. When a foreigner who lives in a distant land hears of your fame and the great things you have done for your people and comes to worship you and to pray at this temple, listen to his prayer. In heaven where you live, hear him and do what he asks you to do so that all the peoples of the world may know you and obey you as your people Israel do. Then they will know that this temple I have built is the place where you are to be worshipped." Amen. A reading from Ephesians chapter 6, reading verses 10 to 20. "Build up your strength in union with the Lord and by means of his mighty power. Put on the armour that God gives you, so that you will be able to stand against the devil's evil tricks. For we're not fighting against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world, the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this dark age. So put on God's armour now. Then, when the evil day comes, you will be able to resist the enemy's attacks. and after fighting to the end, you will still hold your ground. So stand ready, with truth as a belt tight around your waist, with righteousness as your breastplate, and as your shoes, the readiness to announce the good news of peace. At all times, carry faith as a shield, for with it you will be able to put out all the burning arrows shot by the evil one. And accept salvation as a helmet, and the word of God as the sword which the Spirit gives you. Do all this in prayer, asking for God's help. Pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads. For this reason, keep alert and never give up. Pray always for all God's people. And pray also for me, that God will give me a message when I'm ready to speak, so that I may speak boldly and make known the gospel secret. For the sake of this gospel, I am an ambassador, though now I am in prison. Pray that I may be bold in speaking about the gospel, as I should. Amen.
At the centre of both our readings today are magnificent temples. In our reading from the Book of Kings, Samuel has built a magnificent temple to God according to his promise, and he gathers all the leaders of the tribes together in order to witness the covenant box being taken into the temple, where it will stay. The tent of the Lord's presence and all the paraphernalia associated with that was also moved by the priests, the Levites, into the temple. It was a great occasion. There is pomp and ceremony, and many sheep and cattle are slaughtered as a sacrifice to God. Inside the box that's been taken into the temple are the two stone tablets which Moses had placed there when the Lord made his covenant with the people of Israel as they fled from Egypt. When all this was done, in fact, before it was actually finished, we hear that the temple suddenly filled with a cloud of dazzling light, the Lord's presence. Everything stopped, and the priests were present. But it was Solomon, King Solomon, that stepped forward to the altar to pray to God. He reaffirms the covenant which was made between his father and God, repeating that it is the obedience of the Israelite people to God which will ensure the ongoing love of God for them. And he expresses surprise that the temple he has built will be big enough to hold God when the heavens are not large enough. He prays to God and he asks him to watch over the temple, the place where God will live and will be worshipped, and to listen to the prayers of the people when they pray either in that place or when they face the temple. And even foreigners will know that that's the place to have their prayers heard. So much invested in a building, the inference being that your prayers to God would not be heard unless you were facing the temple. In Paul's letter to the Ephesian church, we read also about prayers and sacrifice. And in Ephesus, the prayers and sacrifices were not being directed towards God. They were being directed towards the goddess Artemis. Paul has written to the people of the church in Ephesus to encourage them. And Ephesus was the centre for worship of the goddess Artemis. And that worship involved occult practices, magic, and sacrifices. Artemis had a magnificent temple also. It was huge and ornate, and there were many followers of Artemis within Ephesus and also from the surrounding area. And so the temple was a place of much activity. Part of this activity was the industry which had arisen as a result of her popularity, Artemis's popularity, and so many people had a vested interest in the worship of Artemis continuing. We read in Acts that there was a silversmith called Demetrius who made such a good living at making and selling silver statues of the goddess and of the temple that he was able to employ many of the residents of Ephesus. The worship of this goddess and its occult practices was leading the followers into an undesirable and immoral way of living. And so there were many challenges for the followers of the new church, the believers, or the people of the way, as they were called. These challenges would include not allowing themselves to be caught up in this way of life, as well as trying to show those who were that this was wrong and unhealthy. Paul had been having quite an impact, healing many and reasoning with many, but now he was in prison. Anything which had been in contact with Paul had the power to heal. Seeing the success, there were those not Paul's disciples who decided to jump on the bandwagon and see if they could heal people. After all, in a city such as that, it must have just looked like another form of magic. In a city where worship was focused on magic and occult, it would be seen as another lucrative way of making a living and gaining a reputation. But these people did not have Paul's judgment, or his faith, or his ability, and they were not healing people as part of God's work. And it did not take long before these charlatans were shown up, and once this happened, they were attacked. And all of that would mar the reputation of the true disciples. Demetrius, seeing Paul's success, could see his industry, his way of life, his wealth, all disappearing. And so he encouraged his workers and other residents to stand against Paul and his people. The result was that there was a riot in Ephesus, and Paul ended up in prison. And not for the first time. All of this made life dangerous and tense for the new believers. Paul in prison knew he would know how they felt. He'd been beaten and imprisoned. But he encourages them to have faith in their faith, and he likens the different elements of their faith to pieces of armour which will protect them. By the time of Paul, Solomon's temple, the temple that Solomon had built, had been destroyed, but a second temple had been built on the same site. The covenant box had been looted and had disappeared. But in spite of these losses, the temple and its site, the new temple and its site, were regarded as a sacred place, and it still is by the Jews today. In spite of their experience of exile far away from the temple, the draw of the temple, with priests acting as intermediaries, was still how they regarded worship. It would be no mean feat for Paul to convince the new believers that they carried their faith in their hearts, that they could converse with God anywhere and any time, and that he would listen. Did not require to be in a certain place in sight of the temple. It did not require sacrifices. It did not require someone to intervene on their behalf. What it did require was daily practice. In Ephesus, the enemies of the believers were both seen and unseen. The people who were disenchanted with them, but perhaps the greater enemy, were the evil practices and forces which surrounded them. Paul understands this and says to them to dress themselves in the armour of God, truth as a belt tight around their waist, faith as a shield, the word of God as a sword. Stay alert and pray, he says. Build up your strength in union with God by the means of his mighty power. When I began to write this reflection at the beginning of the week, it had a different ending. But since then, we've seen the scenes from Kabul as it has fallen to the Taliban. We've seen news reports of people hanging on to the landing gear of planes as they take off and then falling to their death. reports of less women on the streets because they fear for their safety. All those who had any connection with the armed forces or the government fear for their future and their lives. People, women, handing over their children to the forces to be taken care of. God hears our prayers, no matter where we are. God hears our prayers for others. Paul was entreating the believers to call on their faith to protect themselves against the people of Ephesus, their violence and their evil and their magic. Can we call on our faith and ask God to protect the people of Afghanistan against the violence and the evil which is surrounding them at the moment, no matter whether they're Muslim, Jew or Christian? Our God will hear our prayers. We pray that our common purpose of protecting people, God's people, as well as praising and worshipping God, may be the way forward for each of us. Amen.
Mighty and mysterious God, you are here and everywhere, everywhere and nowhere, beyond and beside us, around us and within. You are with us on the dark days as well as the sunny ones, in the clash and clatter of our everyday lives, just as much as in the stillness of this moment. We are the ones who need special times and places set apart that we can focus our attention on you. We give thanks for this time of worship. We give thanks for the special places where sometimes we gather to worship you. And we thank you for the place that we are now in this moment of worship. We thank you for its beauty, for all the memories that it holds, the prayers and praises that have seeped into its walls. We thank you for the people who have worshipped here, have worshipped in the buildings that we know and love. We thank you for the people who will worship after us, and those who are with us today. This, wherever this is a holy place, because we, your people, are in it. And when we leave, your church will go with us. Eternal God, we pray for the peace and prosperity of your church throughout the world, in places where the church is growing. May they not mistake success for faithfulness. In places where it's declining or even disappearing, may we not panic and think you have abandoned us. Remind us of Jesus, of the troubles he faced, and which he promised to those who followed him. Remind us of his strength, made perfect in weakness. We pray for all those who have lost or fear losing a building which was precious to them. We pray for congregations, Kirk Sessions, presbyteries, for all those places of decision that we might have well-equipped spaces in the right places. Where places have to be left, may we have space to grieve with all the anguish that entails. We bring to you our prayers for all those who have to balance the books and can only do so by making decisions which they know will bring pain and upset. And may they know the guidance of your Spirit and be brave enough to follow where you lead, especially when that is counterintuitive and seems like a recipe for disaster. Remind them, remind all of us of the topsy-turvy values of your kingdom, and grant us all wisdom, strength, and grace to be a part of your kingdom's flourishing here on earth. And from the silence of our hearts, we bring our own prayers for those we know and those we love. We bring to mind the stories that we hear from around the world on our computer and television screens. We bring to you our prayers this day for your people in Afghanistan, for those leaving a place they called home, but a place in which they can no longer feel safe. Lord our God, for the world and all its people, especially those in corners touched by hatred, war, deceit, anguish, confusion, we pray. We pray for them. We pray for ourselves, knowing that you are the God who hears us and responds and loves us all. Amen.
And now let's dedicate our offering. Magnificent God, nothing but the best is good enough for you. That much Solomon got right, and the early cathedral builders. You deserve the best of everything, but the best is not always the showiest or the most expensive. Too much glitter can sometimes dazzle us and blind us to what is genuinely precious. So may we not hold back, but give you the best moments of our days, the clearest thinking of our minds, the deepest love of our hearts. Amen. And let's join together in the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen.
Take my life and let it be dedicated to your praise. Lord, I freely give to you every moment of my days. Take my hands to show your love for the broken and the lost. Guide my feet to follow Christ in the shadow of the every part. I'm all yours. I'm all yours, my Lord. Take my life. Take my heart. Take the things that I possess. I surrender all I own. Lord, I give my every thought to be ruled by Christ alone. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and may
I hope you've enjoyed our worship today and been able to join in with us. And now, as we leave, may the hope of God never be contained or captured, but allowed to grow and thrive. And as we travel into next week, may the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.